All of us at once?
Yeah, like you did the first time.
Okay.
Oh, that was scary. Right. That gives me chills.
Should we count down?
3, 2, 1, go.
No, wait. I don't have my
All right.
The boof. In the
All right.
Me in this.
All right. 5, 6, 7, 8.
KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage, bringing you news, views, and music from the youth perspective. Things we care about straight from our mouths. In other news is a production of Alaska Teen Media Institute.
Hi, I am Morningstar Kendrick, a.k.a. Kendrick, a.k.a. Better Than Lamar.
Hi, I'm Cornelius. I'm looking out the window to make sure no hobos are staring at me.
Oh, there was that woman last time, but she wouldn't wave back at me. Probably because I'm pretty creepy, but...
My name's Zane Penny.
Come on, don't hold back on us.
Zane Penny, filmmaker slash fake rapper on
Soon
SoundCloud.
To be Zane Millionaire.
Wait. On like producer or like director or...
Actor, director.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to school for is directing. I could be an actor, but they already have enough fat guys.
Yeah, you do go on Law and Order SVU.
No, I'd be Detective Batista from Dexter.
Dexter. Anyway.
Dexter.
Did you see his new face stats?
No, but they're probably horrific.
They're breast cancer awareness face stats.
I like that. That's good.
In the middle of his forehead. It's terrible. Good.
Well, I don't know what.
That's good. I mean,
so
it's good. I like it, but it's like, he needs to chill.
You should not do that. But good for you, bro.
Yeah, but on your face, that's like.
Yeah, he could do it anywhere else. I mean, actually, he has most of his body is tattooed.
What if he did it on his breast?
On his breast?
Yeah, that'd make more sense.
That would make a lot of sense, actually.
No, that's just a bad omen.
No, because breast cancer is a thing for men. That should be voiced in society.
Yeah, but honestly, there's other problems.
Cause
I'm not going to talk about them because they're pretty gross, but that no one really seems to care about.
We talking about testicular cancer?
No,
prostate cancer? Oh, dude, it's honestly, getting your prostate checked, it's not the worst experience. It's actually, everyone should do it.
Yeah. If
you're like, I actually loved getting my prostate checked.
Honestly, as far as medical things go, it's probably the lightest one you can deal with.
On today's show, we'll have some music, some news and events, a review of a movie from a couple years back, and an exclusive interview with the director of the film, Rich Kids. Let's kick things off with some news headlines.
Let's kink it off. All right. On national news, since I didn't write the local news, there's the whole Russia-Trump thing where apparently they weren't having an affair, which that'd be pretty nice. So he is not getting indicted or taken out of the president's office just yet. But let's all pray, people. We have another year. Next up is Nick Sandman suing people for defaming with the whole white kid MAGA hat incident. It was pretty funny because, kid's a D word. You pick your choice on which one. But yet now he is suing CNN. I think Washington Post, and a lot of the news agencies that reported on it falsely, which, good for him. They falsely reported on him, but I still don't like him. All right.
Next up, we have an exclusive interview with Laura Sommers, the director of the movie Rich Kids, which screened at the 2018 Anchorage International Film Festival. Rich Kids is about a group of low-income Latino youth who break into the house of a rich white family in the neighborhood so they can feel what it's like to live in their shoes for a day. We are going to split the interview into two segments throughout the show. Here's an At Me producer, Daisy Carter, talking with director Laura Sommers.
As a Latina filmmaker, I found it very interesting that you had only Latino cast. What struggles did you have with being a white female character making a film about Latino struggles?
Well, you know, for me, the biggest thing was, just like constantly worrying, like, what am I doing telling this story? You know, like a person, you know, the personal story, the personal things with me is that, you know, number one, I grew up in that neighborhood, and I grew up with very close friends that were based on the characters in the movie, and they were Latino. You know, I grew up in Houston, which is a very mixed community, you know what I mean? And so I had plenty of Latino friends, Latino boyfriends. You know, my husband is Latino, he's Mexican. And, you know, so, you know, half of my family is Latino now. And so I really feel comfortable, you know, like that I can do something in that community, but I was like, you know, like, you know, now is a very important time, I think, in our society where, you know, white people have to take a step back and listen and like, and let communities of color be the ones to speak on their own behalf and to be able to speak, and that we can't just speak for them all the time. And so I really surrounded myself, but I was like, I really want to tell this story. And it was important to me because I was like, I'm a woman and I don't get opportunities, and Latino actors don't get opportunities. So I really want to work together with women and people of color to help each other make an amazing movie so that we can all get some kind of recognition, you know? And so that was really my goal, was bringing people together, to rise together. And so I just really talked a lot with my Latino friends, and I talked with my co-writer, who he is Latino, my producer is, you know, and always checking in and just making sure that, you know, everybody had a voice and that everybody was comfortable speaking up if things weren't kosher or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, if they weren't cool. And, like, there were even things that the actors were like, hey, I don't think I'd say it like this, I'd say it like this. And I'd be like, great, do it. And so we would just talk through everything. And so that was just super important. And that's kind of how I managed it. And, you know, so I'm never afraid to say to people, like, I always worried, what would you think? You know, what would the Latino community think about me doing this? I still worry about it today. I just kind of continue to be respectful and be quiet and listen. And I'm really learning so much more about that along the way. And, you know, working on this film really opened my eyes up to the importance of representation on screen and how there is such a lack of diversity and representation in front of the camera and behind the camera. And, you know, it really changed me in that way, where now I'm like, you know, this is something that I want to continue pursuing, to continue to make the world fair and balanced, and continue to tell stories that are for all people and not just a handful of people.
Yeah, that's very comforting, and I'm happy that you understand that, you know, Latinos and people of color are very underrepresented, and, you know, I'm happy that there are actual people out there that think that there isn't also much diversity in there, because, oh, and I'm excited to be that change as, like, a female director.
Yes. There are lots of opportunities coming up right now for female Latino directors, so I'm going to just start for anything I hear about it, I'm just going to forward it in your direction, just so that you can see, you know, maybe you'll apply to them, or maybe you can just see, like, oh, you know, the tide is turning, and you know what I mean? And I think, like, because of the fact that we have tools now to do things on our own, and we don't have to get permission from the gatekeepers anymore to make things, that's how it's going to explode and blow up. I would never have been able to make any movie or anything if it hadn't been for the new digital technologies that exist, you know, the crowdfunding, you know, and now independent filmmakers like us can just distribute films ourselves. And so, like, now I'm going out and I'm, like, having meetings with people about Rich Kids, and I'm meeting with, like, you know, big companies, and people are like, we really love the movie, but you don't have the name talent or whatever that we want, that we need, that we would say, yes, we'll take it, you know. Or we don't think that an English language Latino film has an audience, which I'm like, are you kidding me? It's crazy. But hearing those things, I'm like, okay, you don't get it, but that's okay because I can still put this out there myself and I can still find my audience and I will, and I'll prove to all of you that you're wrong, you know? So hopefully that, again, continues to show you that we're being given opportunities, but again, it's more important that we remember that we need to make our opportunities. We need to take it because we deserve it. They're not just going to hand it out.
That's definitely very inspiring because I do want to be a director as well, and I want to know the language of all stages and all positions in filmmaking. So definitely that was very inspiring.
Good, good. Yeah. I mean, you know, don't get discouraged. If it, you know, I've been doing this for a really long time and I finally got to make my film. So if I could tell you anything, you know, it's just to truly not give up, you know, but you can't wait for people to give it to you. You have to make it happen yourself. And as especially if you're a director, you know, an actor or whatever, they do have to wait for people to cast them in things. A cinematographer can always go and get a job shooting somebody else's movie. But as a director, you're the one that's in control of, you know, you're choosing what material you want to make a movie about. You're choosing the script that you're going to do. And you're the one that's basically pushing the rock up the mountain, you know. And you just have to say to everybody around you, like, I'm doing this, I'm making this movie, and I'm doing everything I can to make it happen. And if you want to go on the train with me, cool, come along. And people will. Mm-hmm. But the director, it's your job to be the leader, and it's hard work, but it can be, you can make it happen. You really, really can. It's hard, but it's not hard, you know. So I hope that is inspiring to you.
Yes, definitely. It is. And I've been working actually on this screen. It's a short film that I'm writing right now. And my friend and I, we're actually going to do it after the project that we're doing right now. So I'm really excited because it's going to be my first like major project, I guess, as a director.
That's really good. Yeah. I would say try to make as many short films as you feel that you can. You know, you'll know when you're ready to move into doing a feature film. And making short films are so great. It's such a great way of practicing and kind of learning how to tell a story and practicing your craft. And, you know, one other thing that I always did, which you could probably do, is I tried to find people who didn't want to be directors, but they wanted to make something. So, like, an actor wanted to be in something, you know what I mean? And or a writer had written a script, you know, or somebody wanted to produce something, but they didn't want to direct it. And so I would just say, hey, I will direct it. And so then other people produced it, you know, and put the money up and got the whole thing together, and then I just came in and directed it. And I got to really get a lot of practice that way, too, with just directing other people's projects. And I would do anything. I never turned anything down. It was just let me get the experience of being on set and learn how to speak the language, you know? So that's another thing that I would definitely recommend. Because, you know, you might get to a point where you're like, man, I can't keep raising money for my films, for my shorts or something. It's a lot to constantly do that or to constantly pay for something out of my pocket. But if you can find other people who are willing, who want to do something, then you can go at it that way and keep working. Thinking about Rich Kids specifically, and the first time I saw that on the big screen with an audience, you know, I was very nervous about it, because when you're making something that's artistic, you know, you're really kind of putting your heart and soul into something, and you're taking a big risk by putting something out there, and people may not like it, you know, what you had to offer, and And then that in turn feels like they're saying, well, I don't like you. And, you know, rejection is the one thing that, you know, everybody tries to avoid, is feeling rejected. And so, you know, when we screened, you know, Rich Kids is an all Latino cast. And so we had our world premiere at the New York Latino Film Festival. And so, in Houston, and which is where we also shot it. So we were really bringing the film back to its community, and I was just incredibly nervous, to, you know, see what they would think about it. And, it was amazing. It was just, you know, there, you know, to hear people laughing, to hear people gasping during certain parts, and, you know, by the end, you know, people applauding and saying how much they loved it, and, you know, just people's reaction to it. And people kind of saying this is a film that needs to get out there, that people need to see, was just such an incredible, you know, feeling. Like, I really can't even explain how overwhelming it was, to have such a wonderful reception to it. But I was just incredibly proud of myself and everybody that worked on the project. So, it was great. My first job, I got so lucky. I was living in New York City, and I got a job working as a director's assistant on an independent film that was called Sunday. And we filmed it in New York City, in all the boroughs of, like, Brooklyn and Queens and in Manhattan. And the stars of the film were these two incredible actors from the Royal Shakespeare Company of London. And so these were very well-renowned, very respected theater actors who wanted to come be in this independent film. It was David Suchet and I cannot remember the name of the lady. But anyway, it was just such an incredible experience, because being the director's assistant, I really got to be part of the entire process and, like, be, you know, his right-hand person and see firsthand through his perspective all the steps that it took to make his film. So it was really, truly an incredible experience. And he really kind of, you know, brought me into his world and, like, let me give him ideas and feedback. And, like, one of the scenes, you know, I got to kind of give him some ideas on how to shoot it. And then, he shot it the way that I suggested. And so that was just felt incredible to be able to have that influence, you know, and to have kind of my vision come across on screen for the first time. That was very, very special. I had said, it was like a sex scene between two people that had gone wrong, that wasn't going to happen. And I said to them, oh, well, the scene should look like an Edward Hopper painting. And if you're familiar with Edward Hopper's art, his, you know, people feel very isolated and lonely. And just the way that he set the actors up in the scene, it looked exactly like a painting. And so I was like, wow, that was my vision, you know. Then later, once the film was finished, the film actually ended up getting into the Sundance Film Festival, and it ended up winning Best Film of the Sundance Film Festival that year. So that was, like, just really a remarkable experience that I got to have, and that was my first time.
That was At Me producer Daisy Carter interviewing lawyer Laura Sommers, the director of the movie Rich Kids. We'll get back to more of her interview later in the show.
To shift the tone music.
Hey.
You got too much dip on your chip.
Yeah, this is KW.
It's a takeover.
This isn't a takeover. Okay, we're cutting this out. I just messed up my rhythm so badly.
To shift the tone a bit, here's some music.
To shift the tone a bit, here is some music. First off, we have the ever-brilliant Flying Lotus and Kendrick Not Me Lamar and their song, Never Catch Me. I can see the darkness in me and it's quite amazing. Life and death is no mystery and I want to taste it. Step aside of my mind and you'll find curiosity. I'm
been so sincere. It's intimate to my nerve that I just persevere. The big thought of falling off disappeared to my faith. They say they have is real. Analyze my demise, I say I'm super anxious. Recognize I deprived this feeling, then embrace it. Vandalizing these walls only if they can talk. Conversations on contemplate to my dark thoughts. Looking down on my soul now. Tell me I'm in control now. Tell me I can live long and I can live wrong. And I can live right and I can sing song. And I can unite with you that I love, you that I like. Look at my life and tell me I fight. This that final destination. This that finds the information. This that finds the inspiration. This that crack the installation. This that quantum jumping that fist pumping that bomb detonation. Please don't bomb my nation. And bomb me flew away. I got my control and I'm here. You gon' hate me when I'm gone. Ain't no blood pumping, no fear. I got hope inside of my bone. This that life beyond your own life. This ain't physical for mankind. This that out of body experience. No coincidence. You've been dying. Picture this.
Me love. Love.
Talk about some delicious music. That was Fragments by Thievery Corporation. Before that, we had A Walk by Tycho and Never Catch Me by Flying Lotus and Kendrick Lamar. Now, we're going to do some events.
All right, so coming up for events, we got some goodies. One of them, I've heard from my friends, pretty cool, is the Girdwood Forest Fair. This event runs from July 7th through July 9th. It is the Forest Fair in Girdwood. This fair will feature some activities, food, and some entertainers as well. Not quite sure who's going to be there yet, though. Hopefully it's not a fire fest. And according to my sources, it's pretty fun. My friends have told me it's fun. I have friends that live there, and they go to it, and they say it's nice. So locals like it, at least. Visit GirdwoodForestFair.com for more information.
I hear a lot of crazy stuff goes on down there.
I love Forest Fair. I used to live in Girdwood.
Oh, you went there?
Yeah, you seem like
I used
Girdwood,
to live in
dude.
Girdwood.
Oh, nice.
You're a Girdwood person.
Okay,
go to the cookie stand. DJ. Shout out DJ at the cookie stand.
Wait, are you like insinuating something? Because if so, let's say
you know a guy named Austin there?
What?
You know a dude named Austin in Girdwood?
Austin?
Yeah.
Austin Girdwood.
I mean, I lived there when I was like 6.
Oh, never mind.
All right. Bear Paw Festival. Best known for the Slippery Salmon Olympics, where teams of two compete against each other, relaying an actual salmon. 200% brutal. There was also the Running of the Bears, and apparently... this is a different, but Running of the Ducks. But Running of the Bears is a 300-yard fun run where humans compete against terrifying, probably, animal mascots from local businesses and community organizations. Oh, that sounds like a horror movie. And if all that craziness isn't enough for you, there's also human foosball. It's like foosball, but there's a secret about it. Instead of those little pieces of plastic, they're authentic Homo sapiens. That's nice.
Not purchased, volunteered.
Well, we're not going to make any insinuations about their business practices, but let's just assume they're volunteers.
Yeah.
This festival runs July 10th through 14th, 2019.
Next, we got a lovely evening hike. Started on March 28th and ending on September 30th every Monday and Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., members of the Alaska Outdoors host weekly hikes. Monday hikes being easier and Thursday hikes being moderately more difficult. $1 donation per hike for non-members or $20 for a membership. Hiking routes vary. And to find more information about this, visit alaska-outdoors.org/WordPress.
/WordPress.
Next up, we have a segment called In Case You Missed It, where Atme contributors reviews old movies.
Here is his
Atme producer, Logan Smith with his review of 2012's Moonrise Kingdom.
In Moonrise Kingdom, two young kids run away together in the wilderness they claim as their own. On the quest to find these youngsters, the adults realize just how little they have life figured out in general. Moonrise Kingdom is another delightful art film to add to the movie continuity of the year 2012. Immaculately framed, charmingly acted, and above all, funny, Moonrise Kingdom knows exactly the type of movie it is. It's shot almost like a cleverly illustrated storybook, yet remains inventive in its use of cinematic language. The language remains intact, even when the story appears to take dark turns. The film is admittedly two-dimensional, and never really tries to be anything more. In a weird way, that's the beauty of this attractive, masterful painting. The film might be more of a painting than a conventional film, but that's one of the many reasons this film is great. Despite its quality and confidence in its delivery, the style mentioned above might well be its greatest weakness. It is very possible that someone could not appreciate this film for the reasons cited. To those looking for a masterful and poignant art film that explores the transition into adulthood while being generally beautiful, this film is for you. The style of this known artful director, filmmaker Wes Anderson, is a turnoff for you, especially if you don't like his other movies worth a quick Google, then you do not have to watch it. That said, I can't imagine anyone not enjoying this as one of the director's best and most mature films. With Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm Logan Smith.
That was Logan Smith with his take on Moonrise Kingdom.
Last block, we had some smooth, succulent music that was more relaxed. And to offset that and maintain the universal balance, we are delivering some harder-hitting music to ya. Very delicious. To start off, we have You Let My Tires Down by the lovely Aussie band Tropical Fuck Storm. And the bass riffs are smooth. It's actually, okay, one of the best albums of 2018, and it was an Australian indie rock band. That's...
Shout out my Aussies out there.
Yeah, shout out my Aussies.
Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
Oi.
She'll be there for a while, for the wounding of a rented car and a ram right in sunshine. She's right there on CCTV, forgetting to take her medication. But then Ruby says her lawyer will get the best deal that they can make her. Oh, but then I grew up around her family, and they were such a bunch of losers. They could only do each other, only see her back the cruises, and she could say anything at any time. So any mention of plea bargains is making everybody feel uptight. Let my tires down. You let my tires down. You see, I'd give you anything at any time, but you let my tires down. I picked a car up from the depot. I had my lunch at China Rose, and then I snorted half a gram of Australia's finest homemade coke. And a child was mauled by bullets outside the High Point Shopping Center, while a two-rack tractor bent a fact bit down on our placenta. And I know surplus blown a coat, the outskirts of parole. It's raining in Victoria, so that's this shit's under control. You let my tires down. You let my tires. I'd give you anything at any time, but you let my ties down. You let my ties down. We'll be right back.
Now, wasn't that something? You just heard "You Ain't Coming Back" by Zeal and Ardor. Before that, we had "Meteorological" by Gorilla Toss. And you let "My Tires Down" by Tropical Storm.
Let's get back to Daisy's interview with Rich Kids director Laura Sommers. Her movie Rich Kids played during the 2018 Anchorage International Film Festival.
What is the original seed for the Rich Kids, and how did it develop from paper into a finished film?
Yeah, so the movie you saw, which is actually the neighborhood that I grew up in, and the house that we shot the film in is the house that is my house, the house I grew up in. And so that's like my hometown, and the seed really came from something that happened in real life, which was that a group of kids did break into the house while my family was out of town, and they did spend some time in the house, kind of living it up and having a party and everything like that, and then things did kind of take a turn, the way that they do in the movie, you know, with the character of Carlos and all of that stuff, what happens to him. And, you know, an independent filmmaker always tries to kind of take things that are from their own life that they can, you know, tell people. The more personal your work can be, I think the more interesting it can be. And so, you know, I had thought this would be a really good story to tell, but instead of telling it from the point of view of the people who, you know, lived in the house, let's tell it from the point of view of the kids. And, you know, this could be a fun journey, and it could be just a really great way to kind of look at these kids in a positive light and to see the joy that they're experiencing and to kind of understand their struggles that young people go through today, with so many things like bullying and sex and, you know, wanting to be, something that maybe you can't be or something like that, you know, wanting things that you can't necessarily have. And so that's kind of where that came from. That's where the story came from.
I really liked how you made it a all Latino cast. I personally am Latina, so I liked that kind of, you got like that kind of perspective on it.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. It's very important that we, you know, try to represent other people besides just the white man's perspective, which is so mm-hmm. prominent in media and basically is just what the majority of films are. It's from that perspective. But, you know, we can offer, you know, other points of view, and we can offer things that are different that can speak to other people.
Yeah.
And so, and I feel that, you know, the Latino community is one that is a very important community to our country, you know, to our world, and that they don't get enough representation in media. And so it's been a very beautiful experience kind of showing this film and getting to experience it together.
What past film or career opportunities do you attribute as to getting you the position to make this feature film?
You know, with this particular film, it wasn't about other people giving me the opportunity. It was about me making the opportunity for myself. And, you know, for me, I have been working in the industry for a really long time. I have worked, like I told you, as director's assistant. I've worked as producer's assistant, and I've kind of learned the ins and outs. I've worked on sets in many different capacities. You know, when I decided that I wanted to be a director of film, I was like, I need to learn how every job on set works so that I know how to talk to my collaborators when the time comes to communicate, because that's the most important job that a director has, is communicating the vision and bringing everyone together to have the same unified vision for a film. So I did that. I studied screenwriting, a lot of screenwriting. I watched a lot of movies. And then I worked for about 8 years as a reality TV editor, yeah. Which was a very good experience for me, because learning how to edit was really important in terms of learning how to tell a story and learning that, you know, what you write on the page, what's written on the page is only the first part of telling the story, because then you go out and you film things and it's, you know, and things happen during the shoot that you're not anticipating, and it doesn't end up getting, you know, you don't always get what's on the page or what your original vision was. And then you get into the editing room and then you have the footage that you've made, and you've got to learn how to make, you've got to make something of what you have. And so that was the great thing about knowing that as an editor, that you can, that will be okay. And like how to kind of, you know, tell a story that way. So that was a very important thing, was just learning how to edit and tell stories that way. You know, I had written another screenplay and tried to get that produced through you know, the way that Hollywood tells you to, like getting name attachments and getting big producers on board and all of that. And that kind of spent a lot of time doing that, and it didn't really work out. So I was like, I need to stop waiting for people to give me the opportunity and give me the permission to make the movie that I want to make. I need to just make it happen in any way I can. And so the idea was to make a small film that I could shoot in one location that was super low budget. And then what I did was I crowdfunded, and that's how we got that done. And that was just really an incredible way. And since the film has been made and has been doing so well going to film festivals, it's actually helped me meet other people in higher positions who are interested in helping me with my next project. So it's just a matter of kind of getting that one thing done. And now I have very successful producers and production companies and stuff that are like, well, we want to know, let's work on something together with that, what your future project's going to be. So, you know, I would say that if you want to make your own film, you know, do everything you can to make it happen on your own, and just don't try to wait for anybody to give you permission to make it happen.
That was ATME producer Daisy Carter interviewing Laura Sommers, director of the movie Rich Kids.
It should have been Wealthy Infantiles.
Hey, real quick, guys, though, should I get these, like, cheetah pattern Doc Martens?
No, go. Just
you
get,
lost
get
me at
ones.
Doc Martens, bro.
Oh, what are you? No, I'm not going to say it because...
I unironically...
You know what I was going to go with
I
that.
Own a pair of Doc Martens already.
You know where I was going to go with that, right?
Doc Martens are like Tim's, but for emo kids.
No, I want
no,
some
you
black
know who
Tim's.
For, but we're going to respect them.
Because they're humans too.
Doc Martens
that?
Wears.
That just makes it worse.
You know what one of my favorite things is? Royalty free sound effects. Because a lot of games still use them. My favorite is no game has an actual original pop breaking sound.
Really?
A pop breaking,
like
sound?
A pop breaking, like a clay pop breaking. Oh, a lot of games use the same sound effect.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it's my favorite.
Okay.
Like the Windhelm scream.
And now since in this last segment, we're all going to degrade Cornelius for refusing to watch for Sopranos.
I'm not gonna watch it.
You're gonna watch it,
dude. I'm not.
Gonna. You're gonna watch it. Best show all time.
Not gonna watch it still.
Why not? I'll give you season one. I have season one.
I'm gonna be real
with
you.
Have season two.
I never have the urge to watch a show, ever. I prefer watching movies because it's a lot less commitment.
But it's like the best show in existence.
Incredible.
All right. In other news, it's a production of Last Teen Media Institute. If you'd like to learn more about what we do or listen to past episodes of our radio show, please visit us at our website, www.alaskateenmedia.org. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Have you guys played Sekiro Shadows Die Twice yet?
No, I want it.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks again for listening to another news here on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage.
All right. And here we are with Silencing Demons in My Head.